What's happening, Tappers? Happy Saturday. It is Saturday, March 24th. The Daily Tap is live. We will be talking about the Brewers roster, kind of some reactions to that, as it's pretty much done with a few things left on the docket for them to decide, and we'll talk about those decisions that Craig Counsell has to make, which are likely coming this afternoon. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament and heading into Elite Eight weekend, then look at the books from last night. And once again, you can find us on SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play. You can also get us on SoundCloud and visit SnowtapWI. It's a website. Had a few blogs go up today. Hopefully a few blogs this afternoon, pending on a few things. We'll see if your boy is in the mood to keep those keystrokes humming. We're chatting first about the Brewers. The roster is pretty much a done deal. Shout out to Shaka Smart for that. Hashtag done deal. The Brewers, I thought, made some really good decisions today. I didn't think there was anything too surprising. I guess Giovanni Gallardo not making the team is a little bit of a surprise, but the Brewers found out they had a option with Junior Guerra. They sent him to the minors. Guerra really hadn't been showing much this spring compared to what Brent Suter had done, as well as the potential of Brandon Woodruff. There was really no need for Junior Guerra. I think you want to trust those young guns, and you really do think that these pitchers can be part of your future, part of the back end rotation. Woodruff definitely has potential to be a third starter in this league. We'll see. I mean, he's going to be in the bullpen to start the season, but the Brewers really don't need a fifth starter until they play the Cubs, I believe, the second week of the season. So Woodruff, once that happens, Woodruff will then be inserted into the rotation. I do like what Brett Suter did this spring. Mitch, if you've listened to any tapping the kegs in the last few weeks, he's expressed some concern about, does he really think Brent Suter is a starter in Major League Baseball? I guess I get that because he wasn't asked to really work long. I do think Brent Suter has potential, and I do think he's a good clubhouse guy. I think he can go far in innings, and I explained to Mitch, and I'll explain it here, we don't need Brent Suter to go six or seven innings. The Brewers have built a pretty solid bullpen that I think they are planning to use more often, and guys like Josh Hader are going to be asked to step into roles when the Suters and Woodruffs are pitching, when they're going to ask a little less of their starters and a little more of their bullpen. And so I think there will be days where you're going to see more of a bullpen game. And definitely when Suter and Woodruff are on the mound, I think those are classic examples. So with the offense, I'm curious to see if Keon is going to accept his assignment. He got sent down along with Brent Phillips. Brent Phillips had a great attitude about it. He had a pretty shitty spring. Not really a surprise. I think there was a lot of pressure on him to really make an impact and give them a reason to keep him as a fourth outfielder. I think, but he'll be back. I don't think there is any reason that we won't see Brent Phillips back. And injuries do happen, so who knows? I mean, as someone pointed out, like, this roster is the March 25th roster, March 24th roster. It could be entirely different on April 24th. We could be looking at an entirely different team. You never know what happens. Baseball's very quick like that, and it definitely is going to be different 2 months from now, in May, when we head towards Memorial Day. But moving with Keon, I don't know if he's going to accept his assignment. I mean, he's been down to the minors a few times. He definitely responded well to a minor league stint last year. I also don't know what's left for the Brewers and Keon Broxton. He's pretty old. He kind of has shown a ceiling. He is kind of a 2020 guy. I do think he could help a team. So I'm wondering if a team who's kind of, I would say, tanking, but definitely struggling or definitely not necessarily expected to contend this year, if they're going to show interest in Keon, if Keon's not going to accept his assignment, and he could have a Scooter Gennett-like year for somebody else. I definitely think teams should be interested in Keon, and so we'll see if he ends up in Colorado Springs. I actually think it's highly doubtful that Keon makes it all the way to minor leagues. I just don't see it. So they are down to a few things that are still left to be decided. Jesus versus J-Man Choi is one that they are looking at, and that's interesting for the fact of Ryan Braun is now taking that first base against lefties position. So Aguilar really wouldn't have a role. Choi is a left-handed bat. He was red hot in spring. He definitely showed a lot of pop. So it's like, do you want to add a left-hander on your bench? I think you almost do want the left-handed power on the bench. I know what, how good Aguilar was, and that it's definitely a risk, but people act like Aguilar had a much better season than he did. People just kind of remember that he was good in spurts, and that's the reason why Jesus Aguilar was good, is that he had limited opportunities to show his worth. He never really was a guy who you wanted to see out there on a regular basis. So I don't know. I can see both sides of the coin here, and wanting to have the left-handed power to create a matchup thing, and Council loves his matchups. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes with Choi, which I think will piss off a lot of fans, and I think a lot of fans like Jesus Aguilar, but we'll see what happens. The other thing is the bullpen. So one of these guys has to go. So literally, it's the Brewer Mary Fuck Kill of Oliver Drake, J.J. Hoover, Taylor Williams. And sorry about that, Taylor. One has to go. Personally, I've been a real fan of Williams this season, and this spring, he's been great. I mean, he's shown some really nasty stuff. He really has, I think, a role on this team. I think he's going to be a really good pitcher and definitely someone the Brewers can rely on. I get that he has options, but Oliver Drake, I don't know what Oliver Drake showed to keep him on the roster. I get that he was good against lefties, but he really wasn't that good against lefties. I personally do not think Oliver Drake has a future. Hoover is an interesting guy because he had shown in the past of being a good reliever, but he came in on a minor league deal. We'll see if he gets a shot because they'd have to add him to the 40 man. So I think maybe Hoover or Drake should go. I don't know which one they may ask to leave. We'll see if the Brewers end up going the easy route and just having Williams take his option and go down and let Hoover and Drake show. But I just think I think sometimes the Brewers do this and then they cost themselves early wins that are going to be very important. Like Tim Allen says this on the Brewers postgame, like game one is as important as game 162. That is not, we'll talk about that probably next week when we preview the season with Mitch, but like this season, every game is important. Like every game matters. Now it's not worth freaking out, kind of like we do with the Bucks and Bucks Twitter. It's not worth it. But when you have silly losses and losses, like you're going to lose games. You're not going to be 162-0. You're not going to win 100 games. It'd be amazing if the Brewers won 100 games. So they're going to lose. If you lose 100, win 100 games, you lose 62 of them. So you're going to have to lose. So those are going to happen. It's just a matter of not having losing streaks, not having the teams cost you bad or your team cost you losses. You have to mitigate that. And so having a guy like Oliver Drake or J.J. Hoover on the team when Taylor Williams is clearly your best option, it's kind of that you're playing with fire a little bit. So we'll see what the Brewers do. I'm sure that news will come out as you listen to this podcast and as it happens. So it could come out after the Brewers get done playing the Oakland A's, which is going on as we speak. Christian Yelich hit a home run, leadoff homer. And I was saying on Twitter, SnowTapWI, you know, he doesn't really have a nickname. Like, we can't call him Yelly. You can't call him CY. So if you have a nickname for Christian Yelich, let me know, because we need one. You need one. You can't call him Chris, Tian. That all stinks. You know, you have Mayor of Ding Dong City. The Mayor is usually what I like to do on Twitter. Bronze, Brawny, Lorenzo, Zoe. You know, it bothers me. I need a nickname. I like having nicknames. Someone tell me if Euchre's giving him a nickname, because that's really where you can sometimes get this stuff is from Euchre. We need a nickname for Christian Yelich. All right, moving to college basketball. So the Sweet 16 wrapped up last night. It did go chalk besides Texas Tech winning. Villanova put on the afterburners against West Virginia. It was much similar to what they've done to Marquette and other teams this season, where they kind of let them hang around and then they just pick up the pace. I mean, Omari Spellman and Jalen Brunson were awesome last night. Villanova just played a great style of basketball. DiVincenzo could not handle the press to save his soul. So Jay Wright did play a little fast and loose with that, but they got it done. They looked great. Villanova still looks like the best team in the tournament. Nothing has changed my mind on that. They're playing great basketball, and they continue to dominate. I mean, they really took it to West Virginia in the second half. But do not sleep on Texas Tech. So Texas Tech took care of business against Purdue. Another solid defensive. Keenan Evans was great down the stretch last night. If they let Villanova play their game, Villanova will blow them out, because Texas Tech needs to have their defense. Like, Texas Tech has not allowed more than 66 points in a game yet this year, or this tournament. And so it's going to be a contrasting game of styles. And we saw the Badgers last year take care of business with playing the Badger style against Villanova, and they were able to win that game. I think they should study similar tape of what the Badgers did to see if they can sort of pull that out. We'll see. I think Texas Tech's really good. I think the Big 12 is obviously showing itself of why the Big 12 was the best conference last year. They have three of the Elite Eight teams in, and they are definitely showcasing why they're a very good conference. Kansas also looked great. I think no one's talking about Kansas. It's kind of incredible. I think every year we talk about, oh, Kansas chokes, Kansas does this, but like, they've been sneaky good all year. Devontae Graham's been excellent. He's a Milwaukee Buck waiting to happen, that second round pick. You know, maybe get him if the Bucks can get a pick, because him and Caleb Martin are two guys that are definitely on my second round radar, shall we say. Azabuke versus Carter and Bagley is going to be awesome. That's going to be just a great matchup in the paint. Azabuke looked pretty good he's been hurt. He had no restrictions, had 11 and 14 against Clemson in a game that Kansas really had won. They kind of let Tigers come back into it and actually cover the spread, and a miracle cover for the Clemson plus five backers. But yeah, I thought it was a great win for Kansas. Duke was lucky to win. Syracuse hits a couple more shots, that game goes to Syracuse, because Duke was terrible from three, and they were lucky that Gary Trent, Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley were awesome last night, and they bailed out a really bad shooting performance from Duke. So for the games tonight, Kansas State, Loyola, I think the Wildcats are real tough. We talked about this with the Big 12, about how the Big 12 is the best conference, and sometimes you see that play out in who ends up making it to the Final Four and everything like that. I think that Loyola will need to be on from three. That's really the only way I think Loyola wins this game. It's going to be ugly. I definitely would take the under in this game. It's not going to be one for the faint of heart. Both teams play tough defense, and we'll see if Loyola can keep it rolling. If we're going to get another week of Sister Jean, I will not accept any Sister Jean slander, by the way. They can't come out tight. Loyola needs to play ahead in this game. I don't trust if they can get it done from behind, which kind of sound, that's a phrasing, but I'm immature. I would also not be surprised to see Michigan roll again. I look forward to all the terrible football jokes that people will provide about the Michigan-Florida State game. I think Michigan should be able to roll with that defense. I think we'll fluster sort of that Florida State sort of run-and-gun style. I think Michigan rolls in this game. I'd be surprised if it's close. So I'm going to take Kansas State, and I'm going to take Michigan. Those are my picks tonight. I would love to take Loyola. I just think Kansas State's too tough defensively, and they get it done. Wrap it up with the Milwaukee Bucks. So I still hate this team. This team broke me on Monday, and they didn't really do anything to put me back in their good graces. Like, at some point, I'll give the Al Pacino line, "I thought I was out, and they pulled me back in." Been watching a lot of Sopranos too lately, so a full-time mobster tilt for me. But yes, the starters were garbage. I mean, Chris Middleton, terrible. Eric Bledsoe got in foul trouble. Jabari Parker didn't really seize the moment of being a starter. He didn't even shoot a three, which I thought was weird. And the bench picked him up. Thank God for him. I mean, Shabazz Muhammad, where the hell is this? 20 points. Brandon Jennings, 16. And it really came down to the Bulls just don't have a bench right now because everybody's hurt. They're tanking. And so it took advantage of it. And we saw a great game out of Tony Snell. Saw a great game out of Jason Terry. And hopefully there's more of this to come. I don't know if it's just they played a bad team and the team took advantage of it, or that this is a sign to the future that maybe the bench need more minutes and you need to incorporate them more, and that they can carry the slack for this team. That usually bench play usually isn't what gets it done in the playoffs, but it can get you wins down the stretch. And if these are the guys you have to rely on, then these are the guys. It sounds risky. I mean, that's definitely not Brandon Jennings and Jason Terry and Tony Snell does not sound like a winning combination, but if it gets it done, whatever. Anything possible. This is a huge game for Sunday against the Spurs in a matchup where both teams are fighting for playoff spot, and it's going to be a dogfight. It'll be a hell of a game. Maybe Giannis comes back. Maybe he doesn't. He looked okay, I guess, today in practice. We'll see if Giannis plays against San Antonio. All right, that will wrap us up. We will talk tomorrow. I don't know if I'm gonna how I'm gonna do the Sunday pod. I went out last night, so I'm not gonna probably go out this evening. So I could get you an early pod tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe tape it even a Saturday night. Get excited. Nothing like a Saturday night podcast. So we will talk. I probably will get you something out before the Elite Eight games get going and the Bucks kind of go at the same time. Good kind of day, maybe a little Sunday fun day with all the hoops happening. All right, guys. We will talk tomorrow. Snowtap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Google Play. Also visit SoundCloud. Visit our website, Snowtap WI. We will talk tomorrow. Enjoy the games tonight. And don't slander Sister Jean, you assholes. All right, take care. Bye.